Hey there. Welcome to the On Silent Women podcast. I'm your host, Purva Miller. What it means to be a woman in the world today, like everything else, is pretty confusing. A muddled mix of old ideas and new realities that don't quite fit. Me Too, Lean In, Girl Boss, keeping up with the Kardashians, and scrolling through Instagram. Is any of this helpful? Harmful? I tackle these topics and more with a diverse set of guests through bingeable chat, personal essays, and pop culture fanaticism. So pop in those earbuds and settle in. Things could get bumpy, but we'll get there together. Let's go. Hi, everyone. Welcome back. Here we are wrapping up our first season of Unsilent Women. I started this podcast towards the end of last year, and to be perfectly honest with you, I wasn't quite sure what it was. In fairness, it was 2020, and so I wasn't quite sure what anything was. All I knew was that I was surrounded by so many incredible women with a voice, and I wanted to create a platform that could amplify their message. But like every new project, it's continued to evolve, and over the last few months, it's taken a shape of its own. But I think there comes a time in business where you need to take a step back and realize that what something will be is not what it is in its early stages. The first season of the podcast was a lot of firsts for me. It was my first time podcasting. It was my first time learning about audio editing, launching, promoting a podcast. It was my first time selling my house and packing up my life and moving to Central America, all while trying to launch and manage multiple businesses. It was a lot. And I like to think of this first season as the chrysalis of this initiative, before the splitting and emerging of something more fully formed. One of the things that has consistently emerged in this time on Unsilent Women is how this podcast connects with women of color. And I think some of it has to do with my own perspective as a woman of color, and some of it has to do with the fact that our community really needs as many voices as it can get. And so season two and every season moving forward of Unsilent Women is shifting focus to serve women of color, to serve entrepreneurs, creatives, artists, activists, and so many incredible women that are doing awesome, awesome things and whose stories deserve to be told, whose initiatives deserve to be known in this world. You know, I was recently talking to a collaborator who is in the early stages of launching her own business. And she said that before she got into entrepreneurship, she had no idea how lonely it can be. So she put some feelers out there looking for resources, looking for support, looking for community. And while she did find communities for entrepreneurs, what she felt, what she discovered was that the people in a lot of these forums couldn't really connect with her and her unique challenges as a woman of color, her challenges as a woman with a hyphenated identity, her family struggles, her struggles with her background, her struggles with trying to dismantle a history of colonization, all of these things that we carry with us and bring into our work, into our businesses, into our lives, into our initiatives every single day. And so we want this space to fill that gap and serve that need. With that said, this episode concludes the first season of Unsilent Women, and it's a really fun one. If you've been listening, thank you so much. If you've been following along, we love having you. Thank you for lending us your ears. And we hope you will be back for season two. It's going to be different. We are in the process of writing season two. We're going to take a couple of months off. We have some incredible guests, an incredible lineup. And I really think that these will be stories that will resonate with a lot of people. But without further ado, let's talk to my guest today. Her name is Nicoletta Erdelyi. She is a self-proclaimed shit disturber in the digital dating space, specializing in trolling fuckboys. She's a philosophy nerd who loves to cook and collect fragrances and is working on her debut novel, Tinder Tales, Metropolis Mans on the Digital Dating Scene. Welcome, Nicoletta, to the Unsilent Women podcast. I am so excited to have you here today. We are going to talk about a topic that is dear to my heart, and I am just so thrilled to dive deep into digital dating with you.
Hi, Korva. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really pumped for this conversation. It's an interesting one and a relevant one for sure.
Definitely. And you know, I think what's really neat is that you're a millennial, I'm a millennial. I feel like our generation has this unique window into digital dating that, you know, generations before may not have had, and maybe the generations after are not experiencing because they're growing up with apps and smartphones. So it's essentially what they're used to. But I know for me, I was pretty familiar, you know, growing up with the what I call analog dating, which was just, you know, the stuff that you would watch in teen movies in high school and little meet cutes. And then dating online on computers and then kind of watching everything shift to basically to all the apps.
It's been an enormous shift, like especially in the last decade or so. And, you know, it's funny because our parents or grandparents are wondering why so many of us are single.
Yeah.
This whole new world that they can't even comprehend because it's new to them.
Yeah. And you know, when I was researching, it's funny because I've not been on the dating market for almost a decade now, but I was going back and obviously I'm familiar with Hinge and Tinder and Bumble and Grindr. But there are so many more that are so niche, that are so specific to interests, to religion, to culture, that it's just like the options are somewhat endless. And so I'm really excited to really get into this with you.
Well, exactly. There's always a new app coming out. I think recently they're focusing much more on video capability, mm-hmm. especially in lockdown times. But I'm curious to see what else they're going to come out with. I already feel like there's too many.
Yeah, definitely. So let's start with you. Why don't you tell me a little bit about you? You are a self-proclaimed shit disturber. You are banned from Tinder, which I'm very curious to know why, because what does someone need to do to get banned from Tinder? I feel like I've heard so many horror stories of people that have, you know, run amok on the apps. So I really, you know, want to know more about you.
Well, I am a shit disturber and I am banned from Tinder. And those two things go hand in hand.
Yeah.
So a couple of years ago, you know, I believe it was around 2016, 17, I was newly single and I thought, okay, I'm going to check out these apps. I was in a great place in my life, great job, good money, a lot of creative projects on the go. But it's a good time as ever to put myself out there and see how this goes. And I did. I tried Tinder, Bumble, Hinge, and it was all going just fine. You know, I went on dates here and there. But of course, before I knew it, I was getting a lot of interesting messages, to say mm-hmm. the least, which mm-hmm. happens to anybody.
Right.
But I decided to kind of have fun with it, you mm-hmm. know? And I would send guys these shit disturber, smart-ass responses to creepy things they would say.
Right.
And from there, I would screenshot the interactions. I would protect their identities and photos and names and all of that, of course. But right. it went straight to Instagram stories.
Right.
And from there, it became this thing where, you know, my whoever was on my Instagram at the time would just enjoy it so much and really laugh at the things that were happening to me on the dating scene.
Mm-hmm.
And I did a lot of shit disturber things that I think caused a lot of guys to report me. So, for instance, my job title was professional assassin, and that's a red flag to begin with because.
Right.
Again, you know, I think that people were catching on to the fact that I was sharing the screenshots. And mm-hmm. of course, sometimes in the dating space, you're just going to get people who get offended if you don't reply, if they don't like a response you send. So they can report you for a lot of different things. And a lot of the apps don't really look into whether you actually violated the community guidelines. Right. Once you're reported a couple of times, you will get banned. So I'm banned ever since. But here's a secret. I go back with my mom's number.
I love that. That is so clever. It's, you know, you're telling me this story and it's bringing up a few things for me. One is that
I know that a lot of bad behavior happens on Tinder and a lot of, or any of the dating apps. And a lot of the people on the receiving end of the bad behavior are women. And it's guys on the apps causing bad behavior. They're the ones that are sending, pardon my French, dick pics to women and, you know, harassy messages. And so often I'd be very curious to look at the numbers to see what percentage of those people get reported, what percentage of those people get banned from the apps, especially in a post-Me Too world where I think that a lot more women are coming out and speaking up against this. I wonder if there is likely still some bias towards who gets to behave badly on Tinder and on dating apps.
That's a great point. And the great thing about Tinder is that it does not allow the uploading of photos. So luckily on Tinder, you don't get any of the dick pics.
Right.
But it does happen on other apps, you know.
Yeah.
You do get a lot of inappropriate messages. And a lot of the times, the initiators of the conversations are the guys. So yeah. I think statistically, they're more likely to be inappropriate. At the same time, I do think that most of the empowerment on the dating apps does lie with the women. And that's because we just tend to get way more matches. And
right.
we have more control over just the types of connections that we end up with. So, for instance, let's say I was just looking for a hookup.
Mm-hmm.
Easy, right? But now you're just looking for that. And I don't know, you might have some trouble.
Yeah.
If I'm looking for something more legitimate. I can also pull that off because you're going to get a mix of a bunch of different types of guys, ones who are looking for hookups and ones who are looking for something more legit.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think that most of the power does lie with women, but there is that question of who gets to behave badly. To this day, I don't know what I did to get banned, to be honest with you, but my best guess was the assassin part.
And, you know, I understand, and I think that it's definitely something worth looking into. I mean, it's kind of what led to the creation of Bumble, right? With this app where women had the power to reach out and to initiate the conversations on their terms, which I think it's Bumble. Am I right about that one? Yeah. Okay. See, I'm a geriatric millennial. I'm totally out of the app scene, but, but yeah, it's definitely something that's interesting because once you start talking to someone and once you start talking to them off the app, then there's really no control, right? Then there's nobody that can really control the conversation. I mean, I guess it depends on whatever digital medium you're using, but it's sort of now in this free-for-all space for bad behavior to happen. And so I love that you are a shit disturber. I love that you are shit disturbing and upending the status quo a little bit. And you know what, if they don't want their messages shown on Instagram stories, which by the way are hilarious, thank you for sending me some of those screen grabs, I thoroughly enjoyed them.
I'm so glad.
They should not be sending rude, offensive messages or such, you know, forward messages.
Well, exactly. And you know what? I did have a waiver in my profile. It said, by messaging this user, I understand that, you know, if I say something douchey, I'm going to get screen capped for Instagram stories. So it's been fun. But you know what? Just like with this project that I've been working on, I needed those messages. I needed, you know, the creeps. I needed all of that. And sometimes I went and provoked people as well. To get such quality messages. And it's been fun. It's just fun.
It is fun. So tell me a little bit about this project, because this is really exciting.
It is very exciting. As I mentioned, I would often just screenshot these guys, and people on Instagram were getting in my DMs and telling me that they thought it was hilarious. Like, the responses they said were savage.
They are savage. I can attest to that.
And well, eventually people started saying, listen, you need to turn this into a book. So lockdown times hit. I wasn't working full time. And I said, well, what else am I going to do? Yeah, let's turn it into a book, you know? And I called it Tinder Tales, Metropolis Man on the digital dating scene. And it's a look into the digital dating universe from the perspective of a shit disturber.
from the perspective of a shit disturber. I absolutely love that. I think that one's going to be definitely going to be on my shelf and on the shelf of a lot of people. So let's, you know, you were in a long-term relationship before you started, quotes, air quotes, digital dating. How has the dating experience changed for you from the time from getting out of a long-term relationship and to being on the apps now? What's that experience been like?
It has been interesting, to say the least. So I met my ex-boyfriend in person. We both mm-hmm. worked at a rehab hospital. We somehow clicked over there.
Really kicked it old school. Really kicked it old school.
That's the way. And at the time, the digital dating apps were not such a huge thing. They were just starting to take off, right? Mm-hmm. So prior to Tinder, Bumble, Hinge, all of these apps, there were things like OkCupid and Plenty of Fish and Match and so forth. But the trouble with them was that they weren't mobile friendly at all. So you you needed a computer, like a physical computer, mm-hmm. to go and browse your matches and message people. When these apps started taking off and our phones became more versatile, swipe, 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 and like infinitely you could swipe.
Yeah.
Right? You can swipe while you're in the middle of a lecture. You can swipe while you're cooking. Yeah. So there's this illusion of endless options, right?
Yeah. I agree with that. You know, I've actually never dated on the app, on any of the apps. I met my husband on Match.com in 2012. I was on Match.com for precisely 2 months, and I didn't go on a single date in those 2 months because I was getting messages, but nothing was really interesting or clicking or the vibe was off. And of course, there was a lot of creepy messages because if you're a woman on any social media or dating app or anything, you're going to get those. And I decided to go cancel my profile. And the day I went to cancel my profile, I went through my 4 matches and my husband was one of them. And I messaged him and rest is history. But
incredible.
It really is one of those stories where I will, you know, it's so random and it's such a luck of the draw of who you get that ends up, you know, it could just be the right person.
Yeah.
But I think that with kind of the way the apps are moving now, it's almost like it's so hard to keep up. And so I've sat down with some of my friends and looked at their profiles, my friends who are on Tinder or on Bumble, and it is so much fun to just keep swiping. And even when they're like, well, oh, he looks good, it's like, well, yeah, but you know, let's just look a little more. Let's just see, there might be something better. And so, like you said, you have this false sense of, oh, something better is going to come along. Even when someone looks really good and really promising, you're kind of, you know, in that mindset of, well, what else is out there?
What else is out there? Exactly. That's exactly it. Now, the other piece, too, is that there are constantly new apps. And it's like, which one do you even use? Are you a first move kind of girl, or do you prefer the guys to come to you? And there's this sense of that adrenaline, you know, like you match with somebody attractive, you're going to keep doing this. And it's not even for the purpose of anything. It's just swipe, swipe, swipe. So then you don't really end up getting anywhere. And I have been on a lot of dates, you know, from these apps, but most of the time it doesn't end up going anywhere because in the back of my mind, there's this thought of, oh, but it feels a little bit artificial.
Right.
Synthetic almost, you know?
Does it almost kind of, and I wonder about this, does it almost feel a bit like a game, like a computer game or a game on your phone, a video
Absolutely.
Game? Yeah.
It does. And especially for what I'm doing, right? Because, yeah, for the first little bit, I was on there to actually see what's out there, go on dates, genuinely put myself out there. But after a while, it did become a game because it became, okay, who's sending the creepy messages today? What are my savage responses and who's going on Instagram stories? So it was no longer about finding that click. It was about who am I making fun of today?
Right. Yeah. So it was less about, it's almost like a sort of digital people watching, right? Like you go to a restaurant or you go somewhere and you watch people and you're, you know, sitting with your friends and you're kind of making snarky comments. We've all done it. We've all been there. But it's a different sort of high. It's a different sort of adrenaline when you're doing it on your phone and it's just you and you're coming up with all these like witty, quippy things to say or
exactly. Yeah, it's just fun, you know, and especially like humans need so little encouragement, it's unbelievable. So mm-hmm. when I started getting the messages and people started to tell me that you need to do something with this. This is really, really funny. It's like, okay, say no more. It took like 2 messages.
Yeah. And that's what prompted you to turn it into a book.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's amazing. So can I ask, because this is something that I noticed just being online or working online or doing anything online, how do you keep up with the lingo? The lingo is constantly changing.
I'm so glad that you're bringing up the lingo because it's one of the huge things that have changed over the last decade even. So, you know, every generation has their slang.
Yeah.
But I have a younger brother. He's 24.
Mm-hmm.
I believe he's a Gen Z. Yeah. And, you know, every Sunday we get together with my family and he would always be using these weird kind of words and phrases. And I thought, no way, like, this is not real. He's just joking and messing around with me.
Yeah.
But guess what? When I did get on the apps, people talked like my brother. I was like, oh my, he was not joking. This is a real thing.
Mind blown.
Yeah. It's a lot of the younger people, right? So usually I set my age limit to like, I don't know, 24 to, I don't know, 38-ish.
Right.
And I noticed that a lot of the younger people really do have this completely new language. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I don't even understand what they're saying. We'll be like, so are you trying to link? You want to add me on LinkedIn? Is that what you're trying to say? What it means is you want to get together.
I love that. You want to add me on LinkedIn? Because that is what I would think too. If somebody asked me that, I would be like, oh yeah, yeah. I'm going to add you on LinkedIn.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, there's a lot of, and I had to incorporate that into the book, you know,
right?
Because at the beginning I had no idea what this language was. And then by the end of it, I was teaching my brother phrases.
Right? So what are some of the other crazy, crazy things that you've heard that have blown your mind?
I really love no cap. It means like no bullshit. This is the truth.
Oh.
So let's say, you know, Porva, that guy that you went out with last week, he's a good one, no cap. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
No bullshit, I'm telling
you. No bullshit, that makes sense. But you know, I would never put that together. If I saw no cap, I'd be like, oh, you're very polite. You wanna write in like nice small cases. Yes, I like small cases. No caps chatting.
Yeah, it's a whole new world in terms of language.
Yeah.
And it's so funny. And it's very specific to Toronto, I think.
Oh yeah, definitely. I would imagine that it's very regionally specific, very specific to your city or to your area. And Toronto has its own lingo just as a city, right? We have the six, where we are the six, and so we have our own lingo, but specifically in dating, that's really interesting. What else? I want to learn from you. What else have you heard?
So obviously there's the oh, we're Gucci, you know.
Oh yeah, we're Gucci. Yeah, that one I know. I have a cousin, she uses it all the time. Yeah, I'm with it too. I know that one.
Yeah. There is, so you know, one time there was somebody who lost his shit on me in a message on Tinder. And I basically said something to the extent of, no, I'm not interested in hooking up. But he lost it on me in Toronto man's lingo. And he said, oh, there's bear shorties on these apps and they're just, you know, messing around. And, oh, I don't remember how he phrased it, but it was just so good. But bear shorties means lots of women.
Right. Okay. Again, not put that together. That would not come up for me as lots of women. I don't know. Bear shorties. So a lot of women in small underwear, is that what you mean? In little underwear? That's what I would think. A lot of women bearing their behinds. But yeah, there's a lot out there. That's interesting.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm lucky that I had my little brother because he was always using this language and I always thought it was a joke.
Right.
It's real. So I had to practice from him.
Well, at least you had someone to kind of help you through it. So, you know, this kind of segues into, you know, nicely into a little bit of one of the things I'm very curious to explore more, which is hookup culture. Not personally, I'm not interested in exploring it personally right now. but just kind of how hookup culture, has it changed? Is it more prevalent now that because of that endless options mentality, you don't really feel like you need to get into a relationship because there's more options out there? You know, what's your experience been like with that?
Yes, hookup culture is more prevalent today. It's always been around, of course it has. But now with these apps, with the infinite swipes, it's so much more common. And there's a common misconception, I think, that it's only the guys who are looking for hookups. And that's no longer the case because I have a lot of girlfriends. Most of us are single.
Yeah.
We're all, you know, close to 30. And it's not the case that it's just the guys looking for hookup culture anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a sense of empowerment around it. People feel like, I don't need to rush to meet somebody. You know, people are taking a lot longer to settle down and have families and so forth. So there's definitely that spin on things now.
You know, I agree. It's interesting because I think that in the past, there has been a lot of shame for women around hookup culture. Women are not typically either A, the instigators or supposed to be the instigators of hookups. And B, if you are the kind of woman who likes to hook up, you felt like you need to keep it on the DL, right? Like that's like the Samantha of Sex and the City. No one wants to admit that they're Samantha. Even if you get her in a Sex and the City quiz, a lot of us will be like, no, I'm a Carrie. I'm more like Carrie or a Miranda instead of Samantha. And it's great to see that that is changing because I want, you know, for me, I think women should pursue sex and relationships with as much freedom as men do. And I've always wondered if these apps kind of give women that almost that check, that tick, that permission slip to go out and do that because it kind of goes both ways. You are also swiping right or swiping left and you have the choice. And I think messaging people, the fear that we used to have before of like, oh, he needs to ask you out, I think that's kind of gone over apps because it's if someone doesn't respond, oh well, on to the next, right? It's less, there's less of that hesitation. And so I'm glad that, you know, when it comes to hookup culture, I'm glad to see that women are also empowered to just enjoy themselves and you know, not feel like they need to settle right away.
Well, exactly. And yeah, in a lot of ways, it is very empowering, right? But it is a double-edged sword, I find, especially just, you know, in my own experience, because oftentimes as women, sometimes we feel that if we use sex and intimacy, we are able to change a guy. Perspective and you will eventually want a relationship with us. And that's often not the case either. So it's just being honest with yourself is really, really important. If you're just on there for hookups, that's totally okay. I have nothing against hookup culture. But if you're doing it because you would like something more serious, maybe don't.
Yeah. No, definitely. Or gauge the situation, right? Just gauge the situation, gauge who you're with. And I think that's sometimes that's hard to do because, again, a lot of people don't necessarily present themselves accurately on these apps. And actually, that's a good question for you. Do you find that? Do you find like people are starting to represent themselves more accurately? Because I know a few years ago, there was constantly these horror stories of people putting up photos and then showing up to the date and it looked nothing like them, or it was a photo from like 10 years ago and they look completely different now. What's that been like? That's still a thing. Oh, wow.
It's still a thing. I had a date, I guess it was around last summer, fall. I matched with a guy. We were having the most incredible conversations, very attractive, or so it seemed. And yeah, we eventually went on a date and the pictures that he had up were like from 10 years ago or more. So there's this, the traditional meaning of catfish meant that you were using somebody else's photos. like that has evolved as well.
Right.
Because now we have things like filters. Now we have things like people posting really old pictures or, you know, very specific angles.
Yeah.
So it's important to have a variety of pictures, I think, to try and represent yourself more accurately. And I really like that a lot of the apps are working more and more with video functionality.
Right. And, you know, as I can totally attest to that, how do you, as a, somebody who does a lot of video content, there really is, you're limited in how much you can alter yourself. not that... I'm coming out and admitting it, not that I want to alter myself, but I have looked into, you know, what the options are to, you know, what kind of filters are available, what kind of colors are available. And of course, you're limited in how much you can alter yourself, which is great.
Yeah.
We all have to be more honest and show up as our natural, beautiful selves.
Well, it's true. And why wouldn't you want somebody who likes you for what you really look like, you know?
Yeah. So, you know, in the interest of being honest, you use a wheelchair, and that is something that has come up in your conversations on dates. So what has that been like? And in messages, what's that been like?
Oh, it adds a whole new layer of humor and shit disturbery to my conversations and experiences on dating apps.
A whole new dimension.
I don't think that my Tinder Kills book would exist as it does today if it wasn't for the wheelchair. Because I'll be honest with you, more than half of my messages, the good messages, the screenshots, are wheelchair messages. So a lot of people assume that I had a spinal cord injury, right? So a lot of the times I'll be like, okay, well, what happened? How did you injure yourself? But that's not the case at all. I was born with my disability. It's a joint condition that prevents the joints from bending as much as they're supposed to. So I'm just a sitting human with limited motion.
Right.
And a lot of the times people want to know if I can have sex, if I can feel my legs, if I can orgasm. Mm-hmm. And they have no problem hitting me with these messages right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, me as a shit disturber, I'm going to have fun with that. And I'm going to think of the most ridiculous responses to send them.
Right.
And that has added so much more fun to this whole Tinder Kills thing. Because, again, this would not exist without the wheelchair. You know, I think every woman does get creepy messages.
Mm-hmm.
But I get a lot more interesting stuff.
I'll bet. So... how does that, you know, I think to a certain extent, obviously when you're dating someone, sex is an important part of that equation. And how do you navigate those conversations? Like, what would be a sensitive way to ask those questions if you were somebody that was interested and you wanted to ask, but you didn't know how to approach it? What would be the right way to ask those kinds of questions and get to know someone better?
Well, the first thing you would need to do is read their bio and not just swipe the pictures, because I have pictures up, you know, in my wheelchair. I mention it in the bio. I clearly state it's a joint issue.
Right.
So that's the first step, is definitely read the bio, because all these questions of how did you hurt your back? You know, I didn't.
Yeah.
But also don't open with that, because that's just a turn off. Right.
100%.
And this is, like, beyond even disability, if you're trying to hook up with someone, opening with all the things you want to do to them in bed, it's not going to go that well.
Right.
So have a genuine conversation, and then maybe bring it up at the appropriate time. Appropriate time could be, I don't know, I don't think that there's a specific timeline for it. It's going to come up at some point, and I think most people are very honest about their conditions. I'm very honest. It's in my bio. It's in my pictures. I have nothing to hide. So I make sure that I give people the opportunity to swipe left right away if that's not their thing, and that's totally okay.
Yeah, yeah. No, I totally agree with you, and I completely agree. It may not. It's not a first. It's not an opening question. It's not an opener. It's probably maybe not even a first date question, because you're just meeting the person for the first time. You don't even know if you have that chemistry, if it's going to lead to a second date. And I think that whether it's talking about a medical condition, whether it's talking about disability, whether it's talking about a personal life choice, lifestyle choice, there's tons of people who don't drink, you know, have religion and as part of their lives and have religious beliefs. those aren't questions you open with right away. It's not the first thing you ask someone when you date them. And so a lot of things come up, and you're totally right. Asking about what you're going to do to someone in bed right off the hop is a turnoff, whether you are in a wheelchair or not. It's not something you want to be inundated with. And I absolutely loved your screen grabs because they are so humorous. I don't want to give them away. I hope they make an appearance in the book. Everybody deserves to see this. Very, very clever, very clever responses to a lot of really obnoxious questions.
And oh, I love the comments so much from them because, okay, I'm not sure if you're familiar with this term, but we call them fuckboys.
Yeah, oh yeah.
They can be very inclusive in terms of who they're reaching out to. And oh, like, yeah. I see some. So what I mean is, somebody might open with, oh, hi, the wheelchair is not a deal breaker to me. And it's like, oh, well, thank you. I never thought I would, you know, have that opportunity. Or I don't care if you're in a wheelchair. I would do this and that to you all night.
Oh, my gosh.
It's like, thank you. Very charitable indeed.
Oh, wow. Yeah, no, I'm very familiar with fuckboys, and they are, I mean, I think fuckboys could be a whole other podcast topic, and maybe we'll do another one someday talking about that and swapping experiences, because that is, every generation has them, and they've been around whether they're on dating apps or on Match.com or just in high school, right? So,
well, exactly. They've been around for centuries.
Yep. So let's talk about a little bit about kind of, you know, what... You say you put that you're in a wheelchair in your dating profile. What makes a good dating profile? What do you want to see when you are dating, when you're on the app? What do you look for?
I love dark humor, right? So you get a lot of the same types of profiles. Oh, I love the outdoors. I'm really chill. I like to hang out with my friends and family. It's like everybody, literally everybody does. Like, have fun with it.
I love to travel. Here's my photos at Machu Picchu. Yeah. I have a friend who literally says to me, no Machu Picchu photos. If he has a Machu Picchu photo, we are swiping left and moving on.
Really? These days it's the fish.
Really? Because they're fishing. Because they're fishing because of the pandemic. They can only go to the lakes around Toronto.
Yeah. So that's it. It's okay. I absolutely love dark humor. We're just humor in general.
Yeah.
I like to have fun with anything from job titles. I'm not putting writer or, you know, project coordinator. I'm putting professional assassin or something similarly dark and twisted and weird. Mm-hmm. And in terms of bios, okay, I really like the one where they put reviews of themselves from, you know, from people in their lives.
Yeah.
During the pandemic, there were really funny ones.
Awesome. Like what?
Yeah. Like, I'll let you touch my face with no Purell. And you know, we can have a virtual wedding and come be my quarantine. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Really, really clever. It's amazing how clever people can get and how creative people can get as the times require them to. But the touch my face with no Purell, that one would be a deal breaker for me. That would be a definitely swipe left. No, we are in a pandemic. Everybody, well, you shouldn't be touching anyone's faces in the pandemic. But if you are dating someone, Purell up first. No, that's awesome. So, yeah, you know, I think profiles can... When I was, for the brief 2 months that I was on Match.com, and that is not even dating on the apps, but it was, the profile was for me like make it or break it. And what, you know, when I saw my husband on the app, when I matched with him, of course he was very cute. He looked like he had just walked off the set of a boy band. So that's totally my type. And I was like, yes, please. But what really hooked me was his profile. It was funny. It was witty. It was completely honest. He was honest about the fact that he doesn't drink right away, which is something good to know. It's something that, you know, isn't sprung up on you, but it's also one of those things that, again, it's a third or fourth date conversation, which we ended up having eventually. And he had this really clever line that was, for me, what kind of initiated that conversation, our first conversation. Yeah. And that was, he said, if I'm like Leonard from the Big Bang Theory, I might be your type. And I was like, oh, he's a nerd. I like nerds and they're cute. And Leonard's, and he's nothing like Leonard, which is, he's a little nerdy and that's about it. He's, you know, Big Bang Theory is clearly a caricature of a nerd. But yeah, I think a good dating profile, I like, and I like a smart person, right? Like someone who can write a good profile. Is I'm a writer, you're a writer. If you can communicate your story well in a couple of paragraphs, then, you know, well, my absolutely. Interest.
Did you say that you messaged him first?
I did. Yeah. I initiated it. And then we, yeah, it was funny because I was like, well, what do I have to lose? I'm going to cancel this subscription anyway. And then, of course, I kept it for a couple of weeks as we chatted. And then once we started dating, it was a done deal. Yeah.
That's incredible. And that was 2012.
That was 2012. Yeah. And so we've been together ever since and got married 4 years ago.
That's incredible. I love to hear stories like that.
Thank you. It really is kind of luck of the draw though. It could just as easily be, there's so many things sometimes that need to go right for something like that to happen. You could have not logged on that day. I could have just gone ahead and canceled without even checking my matches. And so sometimes I think it's a little serendipitous.
It is. I don't know about you, but I'm a big believer in fate personally.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I, when things like this happen, I feel like I believe it too, because, you know, it's just the stars align. So what is the best date you've been on?
Oh, the best date I've ever been on.
Mm-hmm. Analog or digital?
Analog. I love that. This was one of the best in recent years since I've been single. It was about 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. It was with this Russian guy that I met off of Tinder. And he just had the darkest, coldest sense of humor. Like, the thing with Russians is they can say the most ridiculous things with the straightest face. I love it. I love it so much. And I remember we were just hanging out. And I said, oh, so what do you do for work? He said, oh, Nikki, I cannot tell you this information. I said, oh, okay. He said, but I have a job and it's a good job. It's better than the job I was doing in Moscow. I'm like, okay, well, what were you doing in Moscow? And he says, I was moving the dead bodies for my uncle. I'm like, what? I was dying. And I don't know to this day whether he was joking or being serious, but I just thought that was so funny.
Yeah.
So that was, it was great. And we were seeing each other for a short while. It was nice.
Yeah. That's lovely. And I hope any job he has is better than that job. That is, if he was being serious. What is the worst date you've ever been on?
Oh, that's a hard one. The worst date I've ever been on was probably with that guy that I mentioned who had like pictures up from years ago and did not really look like that anymore. But then to top it off, he tried to kiss me like 20 minutes in and I said, whoa, like, oh. I don't move that fast, you know?
Yeah.
And he kind of like lost his shit and threw a tantrum like a 5-year-old child. So that wasn't a complete turn off. I knew right away, like, he was not for me. And I'm not against, listen, like, if the chemistry is there and you want to kiss someone on a first date, go for it. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But it was like 20 minutes in. I wasn't even thinking that at all.
Mm-hmm.
It was a turn off.
Definitely a fuck boy. That one. Oh, wow. Nikki, it's been so fun chatting with you about dating. It is, you know, it's a crazy world out there. And I can imagine that the pandemic is, you know, has changed things, or maybe we're going to go right back to, we didn't learn any lessons and we're going to go right back to our old ways of dating. But it's been so awesome to have you on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me. This was a lot of fun.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you like the content we're putting out, consider subscribing to the podcast or leaving us a review. This helps us rank in the algorithms so we can continue to bring you more great conversations. For more content or to catch up on past episodes, visit womeninourtown.com or follow along on Instagram and Twitter.